Next Sunday, we will be back to the green vestments of ordinary time. But before we get there, we have one more feast to celebrate, and that would be the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. Years ago, it was simply called the Feast of Corpus Christi. And so it's very appropriate that as we celebrate that today, our gospel reading is from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And it's sort of the chapter that has been given the name the Eucharistic Discourse, because Jesus talks about the bread of life. But when you look at that, we have to a little bit careful of how we approach that, because there really only is a small part that's about the Eucharist, and that we heard in our Gospel today. Because this is the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, and about halfway through the first chapter of John's Gospel, it starts with what we call the Book of Signs. And in John's Gospel, it was a very simple purpose. Jesus was performing all these signs so that people may come to believe in him. Because you see the same sequence in all of them. You see the miracle of the turning the water into wine. And people were impressed, and as it says at the end, and many came to believe in him. And so the sixth chapter is still within that context. And it starts out with the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And so Jesus performs that miracle, and again, many people came to believe in him, but they left, and then the people went off in search of them. And Jesus was very practical about it. He said, well, you know, you came looking for me, not necessarily because you wanted the bread of life, but I gave you a lot of bread and I gave you fish to eat. It was a very practical thing, but that gave him a chance to move on in that particular dialogue. So it's still part of that whole idea where these miracles or these signs that Jesus was performing were meant to bring people to believe in him. And so before we get to this part of John's Gospel, in the sixth chapter, we hear several times about this idea of you have to believe in him. In 29th chapter, 28th actually, at this they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus replied, this is the work of God. Have faith in the one who sent me. And we move on, 34th verse. I myself am the bread of life. No one who comes to me shall ever be hungry. No one who believes in me shall ever thirst. And he's still not done with that theme. Indeed, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And one last time he tells them, let me firmly assure you, he who believes has eternal life. And so this big chapter that we call the Eucharistic Discourse, as I said, there's only a little part of it that refers specifically to the Eucharist, and that's the part that we heard today. And yet we might look at that and say, okay, well, we've got the first one, it's about believing in Jesus, and it gets sort of complicated as to why this particular section is in John's Gospel at this particular place. So we've got that whole idea, well, we believe in him, then all of a sudden, here comes this Eucharist. Unlike your ancestors who ate bread and died, if you eat this bread, you will live forever. But Ray Brown, who is one of my favorite scripture scholars, makes a very, very important point about this chapter. He says, the juxtaposition of the two forms of the discourse, he's talking about the idea of faith in Jesus Christ and the Eucharist. The two forms of discourse teaches us that the gift of life comes through a believing reception of the sacrament. And he highlighted that word, believing. It's not just about the sacrament, it's a believing reception of the sacrament. Because I am still amazed all of the times that they take surveys and everything, how many, the high percentage of Catholics that do not believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's really sort of astounding. And that's where it all begins. Because far too often we have looked upon the sacraments as magic. That somehow they're going to do something to me even if I don't invest them with myself or my faith, that somehow if I go to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, and I'm not really sorry for my sins, and I have absolutely no intention of changing the direction of my life, that it's a successful sacrament. Well, it is in one sense of the word. Now, back in the Reformation, the Protestants were talking about the whole idea that, well, the effectiveness of the sacrament depends on the holiness of the minister. And so they're basically saying, well, you know, if the minister is in sin, it's not a successful sacrament. But the church dealt with that and they said they are effective, and it's a big fancy Latin term, it's ex opere operato. It means irregardless of the state of grace of the priest or the minister, the sacrament itself is effective. In a sense that I could be in total mortal sin, but as long as I do what the church asks me to do, as long as I use bread and wine, and as long as I say the appropriate prayers, it's a valid sacrament. So it's not a question of whether or not the sacrament is valid. It's a question of whether or not that grace becomes part of our lives. And that's not by magic, folks. It doesn't come by just showing up. It comes through faith. A believing reception of the sacrament. The primary event in all of our lives as Christians is faith. That faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Because if you never make that journey, if you never make that decision in your life, how are you ever going to believe these extraordinary words that he says? This is my body. This is my blood. If you eat my body and you drink my blood, even if you die, you will live forever. How can you believe that if you do not believe that Jesus is who he claims to be? He is indeed the incarnate love of the Father. Because that's what the whole first part of this chapter is about. Jesus revealing the Father to us so that we might believe and then have eternal life. But that belief comes before. And so, you know, you can walk up to receive communion, and if you don't believe it's the body and blood of Christ, okay. It is relative to the church and our sacramental theology. But it has no impact on your life. It has no impact on your life. That's why I was just absolutely fascinated when Ray Brown put it in those terms. Teaches that the gift of life comes through believing reception of the sacrament. And I think we have far, far too many people that receive the sacrament, but it's not a believing reception because they didn't make the first step. They did not accept the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. They did not make that act of faith. And without that act of faith, oh, the sacrament is still valid, but it's hardly effective. It's hardly effective. You're just coming forward, bread, wine, going through the motions. Believing, reception. We need both. And that's why this sacrament is so appropriate, or this sixth chapter of John's Gospel is so appropriate for this occasion. It talks about the Eucharist, yes, but before it gets to that, it talks about faith. All those things that I quoted for you, believing in Jesus, believing in Jesus, believing in Jesus, have faith in me. Then we come to the Eucharist. Then we come forward. And with that faith, that believing reception, we can honestly say when the priest or the Eucharistic minister says, the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, amen, I agree. My faith says that is the body and blood of Christ.